you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to turn your attention to the book of Acts chapter number 9. And if you want to, you can go ahead and finger mark, ribbon mark, whatever, Matthew chapter number 7. We will turn over there directly thereafter. And I pray that the Lord will help us out here today. Amen. And from the book of Acts chapter number 9. Amen. Acts chapter number 9. We begin reading at verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. Amen. And I want to flip over to Matthew chapter number 7. And while you're doing that, I just want to bear out that this man by the name of Saul, desiring letters of the governor to go to Damascus, he had an agenda, he had direction that he had, that he wanted. And when the bright light came down, he said unto him, he said, What would you have me do? And he said, I got a different way for you to go. And so in Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13, he said, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Praise God. I want to simply talk to you here this morning for a little period of time. Amen. Concerning your direction. Amen. Your direction. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Father, we can't do anything without you. We are so dependent upon you to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. We are asking you, sweet God, that you would minister and that you would move in this place and that you would touch every heart and every soul. God, for you know, Lord Jesus, the circumstances, the dealings. You know everything, God, that every individual is facing, that every individual is going through. You know the confusion, you know the questions, the turmoils, you know all of these things, God. God, for there is nothing that is hidden unto you, Lord. I pray, Jesus, that your word would speak to us, that you would help us this morning, that your word would become water and water our thirsty souls, bread to feed us today. Give us of the bread of life, and we will praise you and give you the glory and be quick to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. This past Friday night, I had brought the young people, and I did the teaching on Friday night, and brought them in and began to discuss with them some goals and began to talk to them about some long-term things that they are looking at, should be looking at, and planning towards, and begin to reiterate to them the importance of this, and stating that you just don't wake up one day and find that you have achieved in life, but it is because that you purpose to do this. You purpose, you have a plan, you have an agenda, you have goals that are set, you have objectives that are needed in order to obtain those goals. And so we began to discuss those. We began to put some plans together, and with the help of the Lord, we'll work through these over the next few years and see where this all leads, and just see how close they are, and understanding that life does have its twists and turns. Amen. Praise God. But the Bible does tell us the wise man was speaking, and he wrote in his book of wisdom there in the book of Proverbs 29 and 18, and he simply said that where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, there are many different ways that this possibly can be interpreted. Some of the interpretations of it are taking advantage of a few things. Others are straight literal. Nevertheless, if we take it, which I'll tend to do and liken it unto do, is just take exactly what it says. And it said, but where there is no vision, the people perish. And the word vision can be meant to be a goal. It can be meant to be purpose. Others have taken it further and said that the vision of the prophet would be, and that being vision, that word encompasses the seer, the prophet was often referred to as in Saul, when he was asked, when Samuel was asked of Saul, he said, "Hast thou seen the seer, the prophet, the one that sees things?" And so this has been taken into as the visionary, where there is no seer, where there is no prophet, where there is no divine utterance, that the people perish. And we can see that. We know that God hath given us pastors after his own heart to lead us in the ways that are right. But still, the literal translation of this is exactly what it says, and that is, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so the people perishing does not refer to necessarily unsaved people dying in sin, but that Hebraic verb there, para, means to cast off restraint. And so the verse is stating that without God's word, that people abandon themselves to their own sinful ways, their own sinful leanings, their own sinful desires, the ways that they perceive to be right. And on the other hand, keeping and obeying God's law brings happiness. And that he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And so without the vision, abandoning the word of God, not paying attention to it, not taking heed unto it, it is a way of destruction. It'll bring a horrible insight. And I just refer to this verse here. Now we'll get back to it here in a moment. But the Bible said that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so there is that mentality that we think to ourselves, well, I don't particularly think that is wrong. I don't particularly think that there is anything harmful about that and such. But we do need a vision, and that vision can also be interpreted to be an understanding. We need an understanding, and that without knowledge, that the Bible said that his people would perish because of lack of knowledge. And so we need knowledge. Knowledge is going to come through the ministry, come through the preaching of the word of God. For God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we also understand that you can find truth, and many have found truth by reading their Bible. But the Bible speaks to us and tells us that when the Spirit of truth is come, that it leads us into all truth. And it teaches us that we must rightly divide the word, rightly divide the scriptures, for in them we think that we have eternal life. And so, you know, if you're a doctor for the human body, then I may question what you do, but ultimately it is you that knows what to do and how to do that. I may need some understanding, but your knowledge is going to comfort me in the actions that you are taking. Praise God. But now that we've got Theology 101, 102, 103, 505, 707, 909, 1000, all of that online. You can do whatever you want to online. Amen. It is actually dangerous because most of these things are not taken literal. They're not, they are skewed. They are twisted and bent to the mind and to the humanistic ways. And so we've got to get back to the basics and to the Bible. Praise God. Now, all of that was for free. I'll get started here in a moment's time. Praise God. But we've got to have a vision. That is the whole thing. We've got to have a purpose. We've got to have a sense of direction. And we've got to know, because there is a heaven to gain. If there was no heaven to gain, there's no reason to be here this morning. And if there is no hell to shun and to stay away from and to keep out of, then there's no purpose for us to be here today. As if you're just looking to be a better person, there are self-help groups and there are motivational speakers all over the world that you can tune into at any given time, amen, and get the motivational speech that you want. But I'm not interested in just a motivational speech. I want to be saved. I want to make heaven my home. And I understand that there is one shot at all of this. And I've got to make sure, as the Bible said, make your calling and your election sure. I want to be sure that I'm right. I want to be sure that I'm on the right path. Amen. I don't want to be arrogant and caustic about it. Amen. But I want to be emphatic that I am in the right way. And understanding that there is an enemy out there that the Bible calls the most subtle beast of the whole field, and says that he is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and that he is the master of deceit. That means that there is the possibility that somewhere, if I am not focused like I need to be focused, if I am not set like I need to be set, then I can make the wrong turn. And you understand that when the devil first approached Eve, it was a simple yes or no. It was the forbidden fruit. It was to eat or not to eat. Amen. That's just what it was. And the devil deceived her, and the Bible says in the New Testament that she was deceived. And so deception began its process. We know that the law came through the Old Testament, and that there were sacrifices and things that happened. But deceit got into that very action as well, because they began to take it so nonchalantly. It didn't have any purpose anymore. They thought that it had purpose, but in reality they understood the physical part of it but could not comprehend or get the spiritual part of it. And so when the fullness of time was come, God manifest himself and came through the womb of a woman by the man Christ Jesus, and lived and dwelt among us, and he became the sacrifice and the high priest, and he offered himself for the atonement of mankind. And in that we see that the enemy of our soul not being able to destroy the church through martyrdom, as in Stephen and the stoning of him, and others, that even Paul, or even as Saul, as he was set to do, to bring these back unto Jerusalem, thinking that he was on a spiritual conquest, but not understanding that he was on the wrong path and doing things wrong, just skewed in his vision, and the Lord got a hold of him. But when the enemy saw that he could not destroy the church in that wise, he became deceptive by twisting the scriptures, amen, and trying to bring it. And Paul dealt with these things. Paul dealt with false doctrines, amen, a plethora of false doctrines Paul dealt with in your New Testament as he began to talk about Hymenaeus and Philetus, who had already preached and believed that the coming of the Lord had already taken place. And he began to call those that were working among them, Alexander the coppersmith and other. He named them, amen, to exploit their false doctrines and their deceptive ways, because there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, if you're not careful, can result in death. It doesn't matter how right that you perceive that you are. Amen. Scripture ought to interpret Scripture. Amen. And you can't take Scripture out of context. And you can't do away with other scriptures, and you cannot build a doctrine, amen, by several scriptures that work in contrast to the other scriptures, amen. But the way that God put this together is in perfect harmony, amen. Why? Because an unclear vision causes confusion. If the blind lead the blind, then they'll both fall into the ditch. Praise God. And so we need clarity. We need understanding with these things. Even as Jesus told Nicodemus that a man must be born of water and the Spirit if he is going to enter into the kingdom of God. And he's gonna got to be born again of water and the Spirit. John 3:3-5. He said, except that a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Amen. And that see doesn't mean that you're not going to lay eyes upon it and behold it. Amen. But that see represents and literally translates out to understand the kingdom of God. Just as you use the phrase, well, let's see what I'm going to do today. Let's put a goal. Let's put a mission. Let's put a vision to this. Let's put purpose to this, and let's get clarity. Let's understand what is going to happen today. And Jesus said that except you are born, some of these people say, you know, some of this stuff doesn't even make sense. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. And Jesus said there could be some things that you don't understand until you are born again of the water and the Spirit. But friend, when you're born again of the water and the Spirit, there's going to come revelation. There's going to come revelation. Amen. If you open yourself up to truth and be led unto truth, the Bible said that God will lead you into all truth. You say, oh, come on. Amen. Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And so we need that vision. We need that understanding. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to take this clock right here, and I'm going to put it right in front of me so I can see it. And you know what that means? Nothing. I'm going to try to hurry. I got a long ways to go. Praise God. But there are too many people that are wandering through life without any sense of divine purpose in their life. Young people have yet to figure out what they want to do in life. Middle-aged adults get caught up in their competitive ways of trying to keep up with the Joneses. Elders in retirement are just simply content with piddling with meaningless things and void of true connections with matters of great importance. I read that and I said, what's wrong with that? So, oh, I'm not an elder yet. That's what's wrong with that. But I'm just simply saying there's no purpose, there's no agenda, there's no vision, there's no goal that is there. No purpose equates to no goals. And nothing is more discouraging than not knowing where you're going, simply because you never know when you get there. And even a greater catastrophe is that you don't know if you missed it completely, and you don't even know where you went wrong, because you never knew where you were headed. You've got to have direction in your life. What do you want to do? Amen. And since we're having church here today, the agenda is, I want to make heaven my home. Amen. Now, tomorrow morning, on a Monday morning, and you get to your job, you may say, I want to be the manager of this job. I want to be the owner of this company. But when we're in the house of God, amen, we just need to make a declaration and state the agenda and the purpose is, I want to be saved. I want to make heaven my home. I believe that you want to make heaven your home. Amen. Because that's why you're here. If you wasn't concerned about it, you'd still be sleeping in today. If you weren't concerned about your eternal destination, amen, you wouldn't be taking the time to prepare yourself to come to the house of God. Amen. Praise God. So you've got to have a goal. You've got to have a vision. And with that goal and vision, you better get yourself some direction. Because I hate to tell you this, but by the process of osmosis, you're not going to wind up in Chicago. But you are going to have to strategically plan. Somebody said, I don't even want to go to Chicago. I don't either. But if you're going to go somewhere, you got to have a strategic plan of how that you are going to get there. And you're going to be watching for road signs and maps that tell you, amen, that Highway 400 or Highway 54, amen, goes this way. And you got to know it. Lord help us. I got this clock. I asked Siri one time, or we asked Siri one time to take us somewhere, the GPS to take us somewhere. And he did. Or she did. She did. But it was a long ways, and it was down a dirt road, and it was all kinds of crazy things and stuff. It was absolutely horrendous. But, and the next thing you know what, we wound up in the back of it. Not in the front, in the back. We came in on the back street, not the front street, came in on the back street, and wound up basically in the alley. Oh, here it is. That's not the way it's going to happen when it comes to heaven. You're not just going to sing, and it's like, oh. Wow, how did I ever get here? I have no idea. No, you're going to know why you got there. You're going to know that there were signs in your life that said, detour. You don't need to go this way. You're going to understand that there were things in your life that said, amen, just keep going straight ahead. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. You're not going to just make it by just good desires and just positive thinking. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. No, you're going to make heaven your home because you were obedient to the roadmap. Amen. You did what was required for you to do in order to be saved. Praise God. Somebody said, no, we ain't saved by works. We're saved by grace. Amen. That's in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. I'll tell you where to go to find that. Amen. But you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to talk about that. And you say, well, okay, we're saved by grace through faith, and that's just it. No, what? You're saved by grace through faith in what? You're saved by grace and faith through His words. That what He tells you to do, that if I do that, then I shall be saved. That's how we're saved. It is the grace of God that presents, amen, this unto us. It is faith in this that causes us to believe. If I believe this word and do according to it, then I shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Amen. Those who live by the law of accident are going to get what the law of accident produces. And that's accidents. But you're not going to accidentally happen into heaven. Amen. Amen. It's kind of like the attitude of saying that Roger Bannister woke up one morning and decided to go for a jog. And on his way home, a car pulled up beside him and said, hey, did you know you just broke the 4-minute mile? No, that's not going to happen. He did it on purpose. And he trained and he set a goal and he set a vision to do that. It's like Sir Edmund Hillary walking outside, stretching his arms up in the air, taking a deep breath and says, I think I'll go for a stroll. And when he said and done, he said, well, I think this, wow, I'm up here on top of Mount Everest. How did I ever get here? No, it didn't happen that way. He set a vision. He set a goal. He set a purpose. And his purpose had objectives. And so he had to get out and he had to train, amen, on a daily basis. basis, and he had to do high altitude, low oxygen training so that he could acclimate himself to do that. And I'm just simply saying these things, that if you're going to make Gavin your home, then you've got to have that vision, you've got to have that goal, and you've got to have the purpose and the objectives to obtain that. God, whatever it takes, I'll do it, whatever it takes. Praise God. And your adversary is going to work against you to try to deceive you. And Jesus said that except that those days were shortened, the end days, that even the very elect would be deceived. Praise God. Amen. With no purpose, no sense of direction. How does one know if you made a wrong turn, if you made a bad decision, or if you're simply just walking in circles? No sense of purpose, no direction makes one want to quit and give up. And it means that you are completely defeated. But on the other hand, you can wind up being disappointed without being discouraged. Because discouraged means that you're ready to quit. And if an individual says, you know what, I'm just so discouraged, that means you're ready to lay things down. But if you state, you know what, I'm disappointed that things didn't turn out, that means that I'm going to back up, I'm going to set my goals, I'm going to put my objectives into action, and I'm going to try it again. Said Thomas Edison. 799 times, if I remember correctly, he failed. But failure, somebody said, aren't you tired of failure? He said, it's not failure. I've just found 799 ways that don't work. I'm disappointed that they don't work, but I'm going to keep on trying. I'm not discouraged. I'm going to keep on trying until something works, and thank God. Amen. Tom Baudet can follow after Alva Edison. Amen. And keep the lights on. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. But that's the way that it's got to be when it comes to heaven. You've got to set your, and there are going to be times that the enemy is going to trip you up, and he's going to get you to falter and to fall. But you cannot be discouraged. You can't throw in the towel. You can't sit down and quit. You may be disappointed that you thought that you fell. You may be disappointed that things didn't go the way that you thought they do. Amen. But be a good soldier. Stand back up and set your face forward and get back on the straight and narrow, amen, in order to make heaven your home. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for us. And not just for us, but for the sins of the entire world. Amen. Call unto him and let him help you. Why don't you give the Lord praise here this morning. Praise God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter number 7, we see a story of opposing forces. And the Bible starts off in verse number 6. And that there was a third individual involved in these opposing forces. And the third individual was a bystander. The third individual was one that stood by the side and watched these things happen, perceiving what was going to be the end, what was going to happen. He basically spelled it out of what was going to happen. And he said, "For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement, and behold, the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." Amen. Young people, that's why we are set to teach you and to help you, so that you not fall into the same pitfalls, even as this young man, or other pitfalls as well. And it's not just among young men, it's those that are void of understanding. He said that passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And so we have two opposing forces. We have a young man that is without understanding, a young man that has no purpose. Somebody once stated, one of the, I don't know if it's an Aesop or Confucius, but one of those little wise sayings, and said that the devil's mind is a, I got it backwards, I don't have it backwards, but a idle mind, an idle mind, not the devil's mind. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that's what this young man, without understanding, he had no purpose. He was just blundering through life. He had no agenda. He did not know where he was going. He's just out for a stroll, susceptible to anything that is out there. And so the individual that is watching this said, and there is an individual, a lady, that is over here on a street corner. He likened her unto a harlot. But the Bible teaches us that she had an agenda. And so the young man, void of purpose, is meeting the harlot, full of purpose. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth at wait at every corner. He's telling you, this is what she's doing. She is waiting. She has set herself in place. She has positioned herself there at the corner. And he said that she caught him, and she kissed him with an impudent face, and said unto him, she had a matter-of-fact face. There was no frivolity that was there. She was very serious about her agenda and what she was going to do. She said unto him, I'm going to tell you my purpose. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet you, diligently to seek your face. There's her purpose. And I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. And I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. And come, let us take our fill of love until the morning, and let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home, he is gone a long journey. And he hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. And he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. And so we read of the individual with no purpose, no goal, no vision, no purpose of life. He's just wandering, just like a fool that would wander to the stocks. As an ox that is being led to the slaughter, he will become. And there is an individual, the harlot, the enemy, that is set to destroy him. And she has laid it out objective by objective by objective. This is how I'm going to do it. I am going to coerce him. I want you to pay attention to this. She said, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. And I've read through this, and it has a spiritual connotation to it. She is subjecting him unto spiritual talk. She is trying to persuade him that she is of the spiritual individual. But because that he lacks understanding, he is swayed so easy by spiritual conversation. This woman must be a good lady. She's paying her vows. She's offered peace offerings and such. She must know what she's talking about. She must have a good agenda. There can't be anything wrong with her. And besides, look at her smothering me with love. And she kisses him. And she begins to tell him how much that she cares, and how much that she loves him, and how that she wants to be with him. And she says that this day I have prepared my bed. I have decked it with perfumes, and I have done all of these things. And come with me and follow after me. And she leads him as the individual standing staring out the casement of his window would look and just shake his head and say, there goes another. As she leads him like an ox to the slaughter, knowing that when it's all said and done, there will come a young man whose innocence is destroyed,
whose purpose in life has been marred, whose scars upon his life will never, amen, vanquish away. But they are there for the remainder of his life. The thoughts, the mindsets, the visions that are there that will never be able to escape, but there was a purpose and there was an agenda of the other individual. And the one that stares just shakes his head thinking to himself, and there goes another, like unto a bird that hastens unto the snare, like unto an ox that is being led to the slaughter, like a fool that is being led to the stockholds, and he does not understand what he is doing. Even the wise man Solomon, and I don't have time to get into it, but you begin to read through the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter number 3, and he begins to say, amen, everything about the fool, and how that the fool had no purpose, that the fool just did whatever he wanted to do. He looked around and saw, there's somebody building a house, I'll build a house. There's somebody, I'm going to do that. There's somebody going here, I'm going to go there. Just blundering around. Amen. And he has no thought for himself and nothing what he's going to do. And he said that the fool is just going to perish. And nobody is going to remember him. And he said, how am I going to die? He said, I'm going to die just like the fool. Amen. Died. And Solomon sought for happiness and sought for all of these things and could not find it. Why? The main reason is because he strayed away from the law, from the good book, from the things of God, and he brought in idols, and he brought in all of these women, amen, that had agendas, and Solomon didn't have a purpose necessarily in life.
And he said, nobody's going to remember me. No, going to be no difference when it comes to the dying of the fool or to the wise man. They're all dead. Praise God. And so it doesn't just happen by accident. But as we would see that David would say, teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. He said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. It's a stage of digression that you go from walking with the counsel of the ungodly to standing in the way of sinners to finally sitting down and quitting. So there's got to be some purpose. There's got to be some initiative. There's got to be some drive. There's got to be a goal that's there. There's got to be a statement that's there. And the most important thing is there has to be a made-up mind. I cannot make you live for God. I cannot babysit you. I cannot walk beside you and slap your hand and say, no, no, don't touch. I cannot reason with you at the point of your temptation and say, listen, you need to think twice about this. I'm going to do everything that I can. But friends, somewhere in the heart of your body, in the soul of your mind, you've got to come to this decision and the conclusion that no matter what comes my way, I am going to be saved. I can preach to you till my face turns red, until my stomach hurts the next day. But ultimately, you've got to get a hold of this. Ultimately, you've got to buy into it. Ultimately, you've got to state, I am going to be saved no matter the cost. No matter what other people think of me, no matter what, amen, might fall out of all of this, amen, there's one thing that is important, and that is that I must be saved. Honey, if you're trying to go to heaven on a whim, how are you going to know if you made the wrong decision? Where are you going to know that you made the wrong turn in life? You got to set your plan. You got to set your direction. You got to get under some authority. Amen, the authority. Submit yourself to them that have the rule over you and obey them. You got to resist the devil and submit yourself therefore to God. Amen. If you're ever going to be saved, but this mentality of I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to be my own man. How many miserable stories do we know from these things? I'm going to do it my own way. I'm just going to be my own man. You know the thing that cracks me up the most,
And this is tragic. But you know, the thing that cracks me up the most is all of those that look at their parents, their bosses, all of the others that are around them that they respect in life, and they utter this phrase: I don't want any authority in my life. I'm going to go join the military. Well, that makes sense. But that's what I'm telling you. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Signing up for the Marines. Tell me how that goes. You're going to have some authority in your life somewhere. Bible talked that we're either going to, James said that we're going to live by the law of liberty, a law. Law has restraints. The law of liberty or the law of sin. It has restraints. But it's one or the other. This isn't, you know, I get to do my own thing. And when it comes all said and done in time, that we look and say, you know, which door would you choose? Heaven or hell? Well, heaven. No. No. You got to make some decisions. You got to make some purposes in life. And you can't do it your own way and think that everything's going to be okay. Because here's Saul. We know him as Paul. And he has a spiritual agenda. And he sees the church as a threat. And so he's went before the magistrate to seek for letters of approval, letters of authority. And he's going and he's pulling people out of their homes and away from their children. We even saw that he stood there at the feet holding the coats of those that would cast rocks at Stephen. And Saul held their coats while they killed him. Stephen preached. And now Saul is breathing threatenings. He's got an agenda. He's got a purpose. He is ridding the world of these fanatics. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God here today. I feel the Holy Ghost in this. That there are those that, as Stephen is preaching unto you, we're going to silence the voice of the preacher. Throughout Scripture, you see where they tried to silence the voice of the preacher. And throwing stones. I don't like you, preacher. I don't like you telling me what to do. I want to do it my own way. And they kill him. They took Paul and they put him in prison. They put him in a box. I don't want to hear him anymore. Because he's telling me what I ought to do. And I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to be my own man. Set my own direction. Go my own ways. Peter, they put him in jail. Because they got tired of hearing him. These which have turned the world upside down. That's what they said. No, they're trying to get it back to the right. And so Saul, just a young man watching these people kill the preacher. I can buy into this. He sees it as right. He's disillusioned. He's messed up in his direction. But his path is set. I'm going to fulfill this purpose. I'm going to keep this purpose going. And so he seeks letter from the governor and they give him letters and here he comes. And now he's pulling people out and he's separating homes. The ironic thing about all of this is later on in life, Paul's going to be writing to Timothy to talk to how to take care of widows. Because he made a lot of them widows. That's why he would say, I am the chief of sinners. And so here he is going to Damascus with a goal, his objective, to set things straight. And a bright light shines down upon him and blinds him. Because as Peter said, he said that God hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 2, that we were once dead in trespasses and sin, and that we were walking in darkness. And when the light comes, it oftentimes hurts our eyes. And the light comes, you put your hand over your eyes and you shield it. And you got to let your eyes become accustomed to it. And that's the way that truth is. Because nobody likes to believe that I was wrong. And when the light comes, it causes you that hurt. And you begin to blink and begin to look back and forth trying to get your vision straight. And here's Paul blinded by truth. And he falls upon his face. And he cries out, he said, Lord, who are you? And the Lord responds back unto him and says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He gave him a revelation of who he was. And so Paul says, what would you have me to do? And Jesus says, I want you to change your direction. I want you to set your face in a different manner, in a different way. And I want you to go into the city. And he had a purpose and agenda, and he went into the city. And he waited for Ananias to come, because God's got a purpose for us as well too. There is a purpose. What is that purpose? The Bible said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. And he began to tell them what they must do. And they refused him. Said, we're not going to do those things. We're hardening our hearts against those things. We're not going to do according to your word and all of this. Amen. And so they just did. But the purpose of God was that all would be saved and that all would come unto repentance so that nobody would be lost. That is the purpose of God. I want to tell you here this morning that the purpose of God for your life is to save you. But don't expect God to come down there and to pick you up, amen, by your belt and drag you down to an altar, amen, and sit here and stand over you and tell you, now you repent of your sins. You get all of those nasty sins out of your life. Amen. It's not, he's not going to stand over you and say, now repent or perish. Amen. He's a gentleman. He is a leader. He's not a driver. Amen. But what did he say? He said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you purpose in life if you want it. Praise God. Amen, amen. Paul would go on later to say, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Amen. And so he set a goal. He said, this one thing that I do. Amen. He said, here it is. This is my goal. This is my focus. This is what I'm going to do. And how am I going to get there? I'm going to have to forget some things that are behind me. I regret the past, but I can't let the past hold me back. I can't let the past drag me down. I can't let the past cause me to live in yesterday. I gotta forget it. Am I happy about it? No. Am I proud of it? No. But I cannot dwell and live in the past. I've gotta have a goal. I've gotta have an agenda. And this one thing I do, he set the goal. I'm forgetting the past. Amen. And I'm not just staying there. I'm pressing forward. I'm gonna march forward. Amen. I got, you know, there's a lot of things that I've done wrong, but that doesn't prevent me from doing right today. I've got to do right. I've got to be right. I've got to teach right. I've got to preach right. I've got to walk right. I've got to live right if I'm ever going to make it. Amen. Reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press forward in these things. He would later tell Timothy, he said, hey Timothy, but you fully know my doctrine, my manner of life, and my purpose, my goals, my agendas that were there. Amen. Praise God. Why, Paul? He said, because there is a straight way, there is a narrow road, and there is a broad gate, and there is a wide way. One leadeth unto destruction, the other leads unto life everlasting. I got to make sure I'm on the right road. Amen. And I cannot be deceived. I can't be deceived that somewhere that I would turn and walk away from the truth, which is not a truth. Oh, but I've got to make sure that I follow the right way, the straight and the narrow way. I can only tell you what the Bible says. That's all I can do. I cannot admiss things. I cannot dismiss things. I cannot add to the Bible. I cannot take away from the Bible. I can only tell you what the Bible states. But oh, my friend, I can tell you of all of those that have looked at me and they have said, well, I don't think it means that. And my response is, the only thing that I can do is tell you what the Bible says. Amen. And if the Bible is right, then the Bible is right. But if you are right, then you escaped. But if you are wrong, my friend, you made a wrong turn somewhere. You were deceived. You made a wrong choice somewhere. And the end thereof is not going to be the ways that you thought to be. Amen. The end thereof is not going to be peace and joy and happiness. I can only tell you what the Bible says. Amen. And if you're wrong and you say, well, it doesn't matter. But if you're wrong, there are eternal consequences forever. Eternal consequences for the decisions that you make in life today. Eternal. Eternal. All alone. All by yourself. You will stand before God all by yourself with the decisions that you made. And how flimsy of a decision, how flimsy of an excuse is it going to be? And you look at him and you say, well, I just didn't believe it that way. I just didn't believe that you meant that. Well, if I didn't mean it, I wouldn't say it. Well, I just believe that that was for them back there in the book of Acts. Does the Bible say that God's not a respecter of person? Does the Bible not say that every man is going to be judged according to his works? And that the books are going to be open? So, you want from me book, chapter, and verse. I want from you month, day, and year that God states, from this point forward, you don't have to do this. But from this point backwards, they did. Why is God going to require something out of Peter that he doesn't require out of me? Was Peter, if you believe in dispensation, was Peter not living in the same dispensation that I live in? Why is God going to require something out of Paul that he doesn't require out of me? Why is God going to require something out of AD 94 that he's not going to require of 2022? Heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my word will never pass away. He is not a just God. He is not a just God if he does not stand and be held by the counsel of his own law. Why does the rich man live in hell? And any other person get a pass? No. We all have to come under the same guidelines, getting to the same direction to make heaven our home. I could go on and on and on. The Bible teaches us that all things work together for the good. To them who are the called according to his purpose. God said, I got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. I've got a goal. And the goal is that I want to see you saved. I don't want to see the devil overcome you. And that's why every time temptation comes your way, there's flashing red lights and screaming voices. You don't even know who and stuff. And you just tell you, no, don't do that. Stay away. Don't go that direction. Abstain. Turn around.
It's the favor of God reaching. Because he doesn't want you to be lost.
So much that he said, forget it. And I understand, he was the plan from the very beginning. But so much he said, forget it. It's not going to be the blood of lambs and of goats and of all these other things. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And the Bible said that God, the God of John 4:24, God is a spirit. Spirit does not have flesh. Spirit does not have blood. The God of John 4:24. The Bible says that God was manifest in the flesh. To Galatians 4:4. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. Galatians 4:4. He steps down into humanity and takes on the robe of flesh. Let me step back. He took off the robes of glory. And he laid them down. And he put on the robe of humanity, of corruptible. Robed himself in that. And became flesh. John 1:14. In the beginning, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1:14. And the Word, or God, became flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. God manifest himself in the flesh. John 4:24. God is a spirit. This spirit, this Word, this God manifested him in flesh with no flesh, no blood. And he said, no, something's got to change. Purpose has been misdirected. Vision has been skewed. The blood of bulls and of bullocks doesn't have any purpose anymore. We just sell them in the synagogue. And he robed himself in flesh and blood, and he came out and he drove out the money changers out of the synagogues. He said, my house, the house of God, shall be a house of prayer. And then in Acts 20:28, he states and he said that God, John 4:24, the Spirit, God, the Spirit, God is a spirit, but God, Acts 20:28, God hath purchased the church with his own blood. Not the blood of somebody else. With his own blood. He became the sacrifice and the high priest. And offered that flesh that the Old Testament law said can have no blemish. No spot. He offered that without spot, without blemish on Calvary's cross. And let the blood flow down once and for all of humanity. He said, that's how much I want to see you saved. I'll do whatever I've got to do to see you saved. I'll come and live among you. I will be subjected to every sin. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all manners tempted as we, yet without sin. That's him. That's him. He knows how we feel. Our inadequacies, our emotions, all this he knows. But he said, there's already blood that's been prepared. Why? Because I want to see you saved. I've got a vision. I've got a purpose. Oh, yes, he does have a purpose. Amen. In John 14 or John 17, my mind's about right there and there. Amen. He said, you know what? I'm going away. But I have a purpose. I got a purpose. I'm going away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I shall return. I'm coming back for you. That where I am, you may be also. But you got to make sure that your direction and your purpose is correct. It's the right way. Amen. He shall direct your paths to all of those that trust in the Lord
with all of their heart. God, I don't understand this path. I don't understand this way, but I do. I trust you. Lean not to your own understanding. I don't understand everything, but I trust you. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. God, you've got to hold my hand. You're the only way. Bible said, and he shall direct your paths. That's God. That's God. Let's stand here this morning. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter number 1 says that he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. David said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so tonight, this morning, I just want to know, where are you headed? What's your direction? What's your direction? We don't have time to think. I understand we need to think. But what I'm saying is that casualness, well, I think I'm doing that. No. We can't afford to pay that price. You need to know. You need to know. Well, I think that I'm going to heaven. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life everlasting. And few there be that find it. That's not the popular message. That's not the popular message. The popular message is accept the Lord as your personal Savior and just keep doing what you want to do. That's not Bible. I think that I want to know. And so what did he tell us? Here it is. Psalms 119. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the roadmap. This is how you're going to get there. He said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So all of these that are saying, Lord, Lord, but yet continuing in sin, that's not Bible. He said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Paul, the one that thought he was doing spiritual favors, would write and he would say, be not deceived. In other words, don't think that you're doing right and headed in the right direction. Be not deceived. He said, fornicators aren't going to heaven. That's what he said. Not I didn't say that. He said that. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And he goes on to say, he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what the false prophet on television says. This is what the Bible says. The Bible said that the fornicator, the adulterer, the effeminate, he said they're not going to make it to heaven. That's not being caustic. That's not being I'm better than you. That's saying, hey, somebody needs to hear. Somebody needs to just stop thinking that I'm on the right path. You need to get on the right path. You need to change your ways. You need to ask God to forgive you of your sin. And you need to depart from iniquity so that you can be saved. I'm opening up these altars here this morning. Amen. Just because you come, that doesn't mean that you're a sinner.
Right. Hallelujah.
It just simply means that I want to make my calling and election sure. I want to be saved. Some would say, well, I don't think that the road is that narrow. I think you're narrow-minded, preacher. I can only preach to you what's in the Bible. I can only preach to you what's in the Bible. The Bible said, make your calling and election pure. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to do what I need to do that I can be right. Amen. Would you talk to the Lord this morning? Would you talk to Him this morning?